With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, listener, you private parter. Hi, it's me, Jamie, obviously. So I've got a big favour to ask. Now, I don't think I normally ask for favours. Maybe I do ask. I ask you to subscribe sometimes, but this is like the biggest favour of all, because not only have we been nominated for Best Entertainment Podcast 2019 at the Podcast Awards, hell yeah, there's also another award we can win, but it's up to you. So it's called the Listeners Award, Listeners Choice Award, which basically means that it's up to the listeners of all podcasts to go onto the website and actually vote for their favorite podcast. So can you please, pretty please, it would mean the absolute world if you went and did it for our podcast, Private Parts. Very simple. You just got to go on, click on the link. We're going to leave the link in the description below, so you can click on it there. It takes you straight to the website. Type in our podcast, Private Parts, and vote for it. It means we might win, and that means if we win, you win, because you're part of the fam. You're part of the gang, Private Parter. That's about it. Go and do it. It would mean the world. I love you. Oh, so you know when you meet a really super cool dude, you feel uber cool yourself? Yeah, that happened today. Francis has left the room for the second, so I decided I'm going to take this one on board, because he actually, in all honesty, brings down my coolness. So, to be extra cool, because this is a cool episode, I'm going to do the intro by myself. So, yeah, anyway, we have Dane Baptiste on the podcast, comedian, hilarious comedian. He was nominated for Best Newcomer Award at the Edinburgh Awards in 2014. Great guy. We had him on the podcast. We chatted about all things. We actually got very deep and philosophical. I actually mentioned Socrates at one point. Yeah, and Blake. But you never thought that would come out of my mouth, but it did. And a lot of shit as well, of course. So I hope you enjoy it. Remember, please, please, please subscribe, review, leave comments. It really actually helps us. And whoever you're sitting next to, go and click on their phone and subscribe to our podcast as well. But also, please send us fan mail. We actually opened up fan mail in the podcast today, but send it to 79-81 Borough Road, SE1-1DN. Title it Private Parts or just Jamie. Forget Francis. Anyway, Dane Baptiste, enjoy. So I feel pretty cool today. People try and shake the coolness from me.
Don't let everyone get to you. I know, look, I don't care what everyone says about you. I like you. I think you're cool.
Everyone tries to take the coolness away from me, but they can't, man. Do you know why they can't?
Why?
Because I was wearing double denim today.
I saw. It was cool.
That is cool. That's cool. Francis, you couldn't wear double denim.
I could.
You couldn't?
If I so had the inclination, I could.
You think you could wear double denim?
Mm, yeah, I've worn it before. I'm more of a double corduroy man.
That's bold.
And actually, once upon a time, a couple of weeks ago, I realised that I was wearing triple corduroy because I've got a corduroy hat.
Whoa.
I turned up at someone's house and they were like, are you wearing triple corduroy? And I looked down and I said, well, yeah, I suppose I am.
I like you're like, I suppose, I guess.
It wasn't an intentional decision. It's just I happen to have a lot of corduroy items of clothing. And I often wear a hat. And so it was a perfect corduroy storm.
Dane, have you ever, I feel like you would wear, you're the type of guy that would wear corduroy. You'd wear triple corduroy.
Corduroy.
Yeah, it's corduroy.
There's no triple D on the end of it.
Corduroy.
Corduroy.
Corduroy. It looks like corduroy. And it does sound like a name, though.
Yeah, but corduroy. It's not. There's no D on the end of it.
Yeah, it's corduroy.
No, it's not.
It is. Yeah. What have you been calling it?
Corduroy.
No.
What do I? If you corduroyed somebody, it'd be very brutal.
Yeah.
Homicide detectives found his skin severely corduroyed. And then it'd be like the corduroy killer. Would be a very scary person.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Private Parts Podcast. This is where we read the most intimate disordered details of our lives. Joined in the studio with us today, Dane Baptiste. Hey, buddy.
Hey, how's it going, cool dude?
You got it right.
What do you mean I got it right?
You said, Baptiste. Well, joined with us in the studio. Well, or something like that.
Baptiste, I thought you meant I got Dane wrong. What did you do?
You got Brendan Reese's name wrong. You said Brendan Reese.
Why didn't you said that at the end? I didn't say Brendan Reese. I
really said, offended him.
No, I said Brennan Reese, and you said, why did you just call him Brendan? And I didn't call him Brendan. Mm-hmm. Do you know Brennan Reese?
Yeah,
he is a cool dude.
Mm-hmm.
This is the thing. How do you define?
I thought you said you didn't like him.
Oh my God, Francis! Stop.
Afterwards,
no, but that was Brendan though, so that's okay. Oh, right. That was Brendan.
Who do you think, Dan? Who do you think is the coolest person to you in the world?
I mean, it varies. So I mean, no one can ever have the monopoly on cool.
Really?
Because people can be cool for different reasons, and someone can do something and go, oh, that's real cool.
Also, once you've got the monopoly on cool, it's not cool.
Exactly, yeah, because then you're monopolizing, and then you become a despot, a cool despot.
Exactly. It becomes a cancelling out.
Exactly.
Effect.
Like at one point, like everyone was like, oh, Steve Jobs, that's cool. Like Apple's back. You don't just use it to play lemons and do architecture. Yeah. And then people started buying iPhones and stuff, and then,
and then
like,
he started making them all work in sweatshops.
Yeah,
and was
exactly.
Like, well, that's not cool.
So he was like, "Oh, cool. Steve Jobs, pretty cool. That's a nice polonic." And then you're like, "Do people really wear nappies in the factories so they don't have to go to toilet breaks? That doesn't sound so cool." And then he was like, "Hey, iPod Nanos. Oh, that's cool. All right." And then you're like, "Oh, wait, the charger is like basically a model based on spaghetti string. That's not cool."
Yeah. So, what happened to the headphone jack? That's not cool.
Yeah, exactly. And then afterwards, everyone's like, you can take your phone with you, and then you have your own personal stereo that you can plug into both speakers. That's like a normal stereo. That's not cool. And then,
that's the thing. If people think they're cool, and they think that everyone thinks they're cool, like Apple, sometimes they do things that are just not cool.
That's a great way of putting it. Sometimes if someone gets too cool, like Kanye West was really cool.
Yeah.
And then he became super uncool.
No, I don't. I feel like Kanye always stayed cool. He's always been up there as a cool dude, apart from when he went grey.
Yeah.
Then he was not.
And then he was not cool. And I feel like he's still fighting to get that cool back.
Okay, fine.
Because even aside from whatever his political views are, like, it's never cool if you're hanging with a politician. That's not cool.
Is it not that cool?
Nah, not if you're an artist. I personally feel that artistry is about being anti-establishment. So when you're like, I want to cozy up, and that's not cool. I want to be with the president and stuff. It's like, that's not cool. Like,
because it's too mainstream.
But arguably,
it's too mainstream.
Arguably, he is quite an anti-establishment president.
I mean, I don't think there's a such thing as an anti-establishment president, to be honest.
Well, I guess not once they become president. Yeah.
Mm. I mean, exactly. And I just think like, I think most cool people. To answer the question in a very convoluted way, most people I consider to be cool are normally people that are apolitical and just have a perspective which is not like kind of placed on any bipartisan paradigm.
So they have a view on something.
For example, I think Jeremy Corbyn was really cool, and then when he joined the Labour Party, then it's like, oh, well, now you're not cool because in order for you to really be cool, you'd have to be outside of the party. I feel like a lot of his narrative is like, that is really noble and I can get with that, but it's like, you can't really execute any of these things within the confines of a political party.
Well, you say that. I mean, he's very, very close to being prime minister now, with the Conservatives have lost 60 seats. Anyway, we try not to talk about politics on here.
Because it's not cool, right? It's See, not cool. Exactly.
I feel like it is cool, but that has just gone over my head. Do you know who Francis thinks really cool? David Guetta. You think he's...
Oh, yeah. He's, actually,
really?
He's my spirit animal. I don't even know his music, but...
he's cool.
But I appreciate that he's doing it, and that's...
I now know who I think is cool.
Okay, go.
All right, so just off the top of my head, I think Ashton Kutcher is cool.
Oh, yeah, he's cool.
Dude, I think he's... But why is he so cool?
He's cool because, like...
Jiu-Jitsu purple belt.
Number one, which is good. That's a good reason for him to be cool.
Jiu-Jitsu purple belt.
Yeah, so that's one reason for him being very cool. Also,
he might even be brown belt now.
Look at Francis' face. He's just like, he's one of us.
Exactly.
He's a PLU.
Exactly.
People like, not us, people like me, PLM.
PLM, I like that.
Okay, why is Ashton Kutcher cool?
So he's cool because of, obviously, great work, a great actor and stuff. And I like when I see artists, especially when a lot of the time people are more focused on their aesthetic, when they kind of ignore that, and he doesn't really reference that at all. And also because he has he's now working with a charity whereby he's worked to develop software in order to prevent child trafficking.
Oh yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, and I think and because he doesn't make a big deal about it as well, which
he's an understated guy.
Yeah, very understated guy, does a lot of altruistic work, which I think is very cool.
I only know about his purple belt because I do jiu-jitsu and I know people who train with
him. So you're in the know, yeah, but he enjoys it, he's very cool. Like Keanu Reeves is cool too.
Yeah. Reeves is cool.
Do you know how hard his life Keanu Reeves' life has been as well?
Exactly, but never
talks about it and no one knows about it.
And same with Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah, right.
Kelsey Grammer's had an awful amount of tragedy.
Hang on, who's Kelsey Grammer?
Frasier.
Who's Frasier?
From the show Frasier?
Oh, that...
toss salad and scrambled eggs, that guy.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone knows Raymond.
After that show, after that show is Frasier.
Is it?
Yeah, so it's normally like when you know the commute shows when you're getting ready for work and it's like, oh, why can't I stay home and watch Everybody Loves Raymond? And then they go, next Frasier. And you go, oh, man, I hate going to work. toss salad and scrambled eggs. You're like, I want some scrambled eggs. I have to go to work and carry a
Frasier's
steel
one of my
muffin.
Favorite shows.
It's a good show. Yeah. It's a great show. And Kelsey Grammer, see now, he's a Republican, always been an outspoken Republican, never really allied himself the current president.
I guess a lot of Republicans, there are many more Republicans in entertainment in America, but you just don't know because they get kind of persecuted for like highlighting their beliefs.
But it's not synonymous. Because you're a Republican doesn't necessarily mean that you may have other right-wing platitudes. So because Republican is just the idea believe in republic and not having kick up money to a monarchy, which is something I understand, I agree with. So
wait, then, hang on a second. You know a lot about politics.
I don't
know very little. I don't know which one it is. I either know very little, which is probably the right way.
Both probably,
both are probably right.
But I mean, I don't think there's not much to know about politics. I think a lot of time people get bogged down in so much of the jargon. But I never try and profess intelligence. I don't really believe in that intelligence. And I can elaborate that in a bit. But it's just, I just look at stuff just through very obvious eyes. And I think it's one of the good things about when you have a job in the creative industry, you can just look at stuff and just apply common sense rather than having to contextualize stuff along the lines where you have to think, well, I have to manage what I'm saying politically, I have to manage what I'm saying socially. I can just be like, I, for example, don't think like it's fair that if you work for a company that evades tax, that you should be able to take advantage of civil services. If you're on a board of directors and you don't pay tax, then you shouldn't be able to call the police because that's, tax funded. So that's just something I think. I don't think about along political lines or in particular party, but I just think, for example, if you are in a society which you are pushing to increase its prosperity, why would you stop students from going to university and paying exorbitant fees when ultimately, when they graduate, they're going to benefit society with their intellect and their innovation?
Mm.
So why would... No, we don't understand that. So.
I need more views like this. This is what I need to start creating more.
Well,
views.
We need more common sense. I think
most people have. I think most people have. I just think that it's suggested to you that you have to ignore these kind of things.
But
to work within society, and I think everyone's kind of like, well, I don't really see the point in having, like, I think most people understand that we need nurses, we need, you know, a healthcare system. But like at the same time, where well, this day, well, you know, this is a drain on the NHS and this is hard and blah 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 blah. But it's like, really, if we're using common sense, I guess what the real aspiration should be that you never need a hospital in the first place because everyone kind of lives a healthy lifestyle anyway. So yeah.
Hey, I like all the so. Hang on, so when you were, so when you were younger, right? Because I feel like you have some views and you're interested in kind of different aspects of life. Were you always quite an inquisitive kind of child? Were you always one who was always trying to gain knowledge, or did you always want to know about things?
Yeah, always. I think most people who know me when I was like, you know, in primary school, like as an, I probably haven't really changed that much so far as like perspective. Because, yeah, I just think, I think most kids are inquisitive like that and everyone asks why. And, you know, like some of us kind of get discouraged from asking questions. And, you know, sometimes you have teachers or people in positions of authority will like, stop asking stupid questions. And I think I was lucky where my parents just be like, oh, my God, just... So they just bought like a whole bunch of encyclopedias. Like, we don't know, just read. So
you just sat there and just read all these books instead?
Yeah, if anything I don't know, I'll just look it up. And this is before Google. And I think at one point I had like an Encarta NC, so Microsoft used to have their own.
Yeah, I had an Encarta.
Yeah,
so
like wait, hang on, what's an Encarta?
When encyclopedias were on CDs, and you
in 1997 BG before Google, they would have the so you'd have a CD which
was like a floppy disk. Do you remember those floppy
disks? I remember floppy disks. Yeah, I remember very well. I remember
the old
A drive. I remember that very well. Yeah, so
you at home and I completely agree with you when what teachers do, they stop you, they don't encourage you from asking questions because you have to learn the syllabus. So therefore, it's like this is what you need to learn. Anything outside of this sort of conversation doesn't work. I remember when
you were like, I don't want to learn the syllabus.
Yeah, I don't want to learn about that. I want to learn so much more.
Yeah, but what's Encarta?
See,
but I remember I had a philosophy teacher called I'm not going to say his name because he's a wanker. And we came into the class once and we were doing the cosmological argument. And he took out his little cards and he was like, "Oh, I've forgotten my cards right on the board." So he just turned and went, "I'm just going to wing it." I went, "What do you mean you're going to just wing it? How can, you're meant to be a teacher, you're meant to know these things." But, you know, and so for some reason, what happens is with teaching and stuff like that, they just focus on the syllabus rather than the other sort of...
Just tell you to memorize the dots instead of how to connect the dots.
Boom, man, that is exactly what it is.
Yeah, that's you know, an issue with academia is that, like, yeah, we're all... So then you start getting into this practice of doing stuff like, you know, you have to raise your hand before you ask a question. So then you're already learning as a child that you have to concede to authority when in most... real world, like even when you watch like parliamentary debates, like everyone's like, "Well, I think that's wrong." And so they all go crazy. But as a normal working person in society, you have to be like, "Oh, miss, I have a question," or "Sir, I have a question." And then you're separated along, like sometimes you go to a girl or boy school, so then you're separated by gender, then you're separated by age, and none of these things like that. And so all this kind of standardizing that we have doesn't really apply in real life when you leave school and stuff. And it's like up until like, especially like even. Very few people I know even were able to study philosophy, which would have been very successful.
Yeah.
Just to discuss, you know, all the what ifs. And so, like, so he's, but then someone saying, "I'm going to wing it," like, you're taken aback by that because you're given this image that a teacher has all the knowledge. But it's like, when a teacher's like, "You need to get an A in this," we should be like, "Well, did you get an A in this?" because remember, you don't see your teacher's CV before that person's like, "You need to memorize this," and if you don't, you get detention. It's like, "Well, who knows? I don't know what you got. What did you get for this module?"
You say, there's no way at school you'd say things that. Would you think that? Would you say that? It's the teacher would be like, "Well, did you get a fucking A?" I don't know. I don't want to get an A.
Sometimes what happened was, I remember I had a student teacher in chemistry, and she was actually quite nice. I remember we were doing the test, and she was like, "Well, I got an A," and I was like, "Well." Yeah. If you didn't, we'd be worried, really. So, but for me, it's just an interesting thing whereby, like, I feel because of stuff like how we're trained and stuff in school, we give power over to these institutions and we don't really question them. Whereby, like, because I work in comedy, so we're always parodying stuff. So people make fun of, like, "Oh, you make fun of Catholic priests," and you might make fun of like bankers and stuff. But it's like, you know, that's the same with law enforcement. There's no real reason why you think a member of the police force would be more moral than you are. Because for a start, I mean, they're incentivized by money. It's like, if you really cared about it, you'd do it for free. It's something you, and I'm speaking, philosophically speaking, it's
and
like,
staff.
If you, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean,
I get it.
But by the same token, like, rather than you starve at the same time, you know, I guess if we had more of a society where, you know, we'd, were able to show more reverence for civil servants than maybe a police person is on a member of law enforcement on the front line more than a politician. Mm. And a politician will determine policy, whereas a police officer has to enforce it, which is where the etymology of police comes from, because you have to enforce policy without really questioning it. But then it's like, shouldn't the people that actually have to enforce this have more of a say in terms of determining public policy kind of thing? So,
well, I think also there's something to be said about, you know, schools, as state school curriculums, right, being established by, you know, whoever sets the curriculum has a tremendous amount of power over what those young people are thinking.
Yeah.
And so, and this is, I think, also actually an argument against lowering the voting age, because it gives, I think, kids, young people need some time outside of school to kind of see that, you know, maybe some of the things that they've been told are true and stated as fact are not necessarily, you know, the case. And you know, you need some common sense, real life experience to figure some things out for yourself.
Yeah, it's the application of this stuff, which is why I'm saying, like, you know, I said I try not think about stuff like intelligence and stuff. So, because if you look at, for example, like,
it's too much control to the state over the minds of
young
people.
How can you not think about intelligence? That's why. Because it defines something. What?
Yeah, because when you talk about intellect, it's more like a compartmentalizing of knowledge. So someone might, I'm intelligent because I know about this. But it's, so, for example, for a very long time growing up, it's like if someone was like a farmer, for example, there was always this suggestion that that person's very simple and, you know, it's like, I drive a combine harvester. But then you think,
farmers are jokes,
very simple. But when you think about it, it's like, you know, without agricultural knowledge, nothing else goes forward. If we can't grow crops and we can't feed ourselves, and these people have that knowledge to work out, like, you know, soil pH and stuff like that, the rest of us are screwed. So that person is a lot more, or, you know, someone who works as a bin man, you know, or a refuse collector, it would be suggested that they have a lower level of intellect than someone who may be working in, like, finance.
Or they might be just a philosopher.
Yeah, it could be a philosopher, yeah. But then, if we went a month without bankers, or we went a month without people that work in sanitation, you'd notice more if your bins weren't collected for a month.
It's so true. Because also, I suppose,
like, over the Christmas period, they only picked up the rubbish like two weeks before, and then
did you shout at them again?
No, but it was just like
you always shout.
What did they expect us to do? Like, we'll just
exactly.
Get,
like, someone's like, "There's a reindeer. That's a rat. That's a rat with a red nose."
But it's so true. I think what you're right in saying is that intellect is defined by what we learn at school and syllabus and things like that. And so, if you know history or you're good at maths or you understand science, that defines you as an intellect. Mm-hmm. Where in fact, that actually isn't the case, because at school I didn't do good at those things, but I am motherfucking clever.
I didn't do good.
But that's fine. Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. But that doesn't. And not knowing that stuff hasn't impeded your progress.
Oh, it has. No, it massively did. It didn't allow me to choose the university I wanted to go to.
Your dream of becoming poet laureate was
my dream of becoming shattered. A poet was out.
It's not too late. It's never too late.
I feel like I'm a poet anyway. I feel like I can
you feel like it.
Well, I can rhyme.
There you go. You got your stanzas sorted out. Get your pentameters worked out.
You want me to rhyme something?
Give
me a topic and I'll rhyme about it. This is basically going to be rap, though, instead. But I can rap. I can rap and rhyme.
Rap is a form of poetry. That's how it started.
All right. Give me something to rap about. Here we go.
Okay. Say Made in Australia.
You want me to talk about Made in Australia?
Yeah, that's the topic.
Made in Australia.
Yeah.
Try and rhyme Australia with something.
Go on.
Dave's actually sitting there. Here we go.
Come on. You got to do it now.
Okay, fine. Made in Australia. Okay, got it. Okay, hon.
Come on.
Okay. So, my name is Jamie, and I went to a...
It always starts with, my name is Jamie.
What? You've never heard me before?
Yeah.
You've never heard me,
no,
did
I have.
No.
I've not heard this.
Okay, you haven't heard this. Yeah. Okay, fine. We won't start with my name is Jamie. I was a young boy, and I went to a school. The school was no good for you. I did exams. They weren't so good. The teacher called me a failure. So I went to Made
in
Australia.
Yet,
yeah, I did. That was rhyming.
He got there. It's just... not your typical bar structure. That's what I mean.
Dane, crazy. Dane, I don't understand about bar structures like I do. Listen.
I know. You're subverting the whole art form. I like that. I like it. Just
okay,
do your own thing.
I'll do another one.
Genitalia rhymes with Australia. If that helps.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
Because it's a private parts podcast, so I thought that might help.
All right. Okay. My brain doesn't work where I have to fit the beginning to the end. I can't. Dane, can you rap or can you do poetry? I reckon you've written a poem once in your life.
Oh, I can definitely write poems, but I've never been musically inclined. Like, I didn't even play the recorder in primary school. Again, because it was like, everybody's doing it. So I'm like, well, if
that's not cool.
Yeah, if everyone does it. Yeah, I was like, that's weird. I'll just sit
that's
by myself.
Not cool.
Yeah, it sounds very weird because everyone was doing the recorder. I was like, I feel like, if they're just making, and if everyone's making everybody do it, it's like maybe some people enjoy, like, you know, some people might like strings and some people might like to play percussion, but also, they were just like, everyone played a recorder.
Recorder's such a boring instrument as well. It's just so boring. Like, I think, like, they try and make everyone.
Even the name's boring.
They try.
It's so conformist. What does this do? It records sound all at the same time. So we call it a recorder. That's a very lazy name.
But that's the thing, like, they try and make everyone learn the recorder to try and inspire them to learn and love music. Music, but actually, like, it's such a boring instrument. I think it turns more people off music.
It certainly didn't turn
me off music, but it made me not want to learn the recorder. That's for sure.
But I think that's the problem we've got. I have a big problem with education just in general.
Because we all know this. It's a matter of public record.
I do, just because going back to that idea of authority, I really just didn't like authority as a kid. And I actually saw, it's amazing, there was an experiment done, which I'm probably not going to get right, but I'm going to try and get right, which was, it was like called the Harvard experiment, where they got a group of 10 people.
Harvard prisoner experiment.
Harvard, I think it's just called the Harvard experiment. But anyway, whatever. Potato, potato.
Does it involve prisoners?
It involves prisoners, yeah.
Yeah, it's the Harvard prisoner experiment.
I even love that you did potato, potato, instead of going for tomato like everybody else would have done.
Well, or coriander or cilantro. That's the other one.
That's a good one.
That's the other one they use, isn't it? Coriander, cilantro, whatever you want to call it. But they put 10 people into a room and split them half and half into 5 prisoners and 5 officers. And they said to the officers, you treat these prisoners like they're prisoners. And you said to the prisoners, you are prisoners, these are your officers. Okay, and they put them in a sort of confined space in Harvard and did an experiment over 5 days. And the experiment lasted for 2 days, because after 2 days they had to stop it because it actually became like Animal Farm type thing where the officers actually took it too far and its authority. And then they did another experiment. Maybe I've just got the two experiments mixed up. No, I haven't. There's another experiment where they got a lot of people into a room and they said, buddy up with someone. So they buddied up with someone and everyone had their pairs, and they said, right, we're going to take you into another room. So they sat in two rooms. One sat in one room, another person sat in another room, and they had an electrical wiring system, said it was attached to the other person in the other room. Uh-huh. They said, every single time you get a question wrong, we're going to turn the electricity up. And this guy was wearing a sort of suit of authority, whatever that is, a high-vis jacket.
Suit of authority.
yeah. Something that Maggie Thatcher would wear, just looking important. And they start, every time they got a question wrong, the electricity would go up. They would hear screams in the next door room, and to the point where it was electricity that would kill them, but the screens were fake in the other room. But it's the point that someone in authority can tell you to do something to turn up the electricity, and you'll just do it. So you will murder someone just because you're
people are inclined in collective groups to defer responsibility to a higher power, so they can absolve themselves of a feeling of responsibility for it.
Yeah, look at that. I tell you what,
and actually, that's why I think, you know, it's so frightening, you know, today, that people can kind of cast aside democracy so easily because it's expedient to their political or financial ends. Like, that's, I think, frightening. And I mean, if you look back to sort of authoritarian, tyrannical dictatorships of the past, that's what created the path for them to accede to power, is that kind of willingness to look the other way in the face of blatant violations of democracy.
I just don't understand what you just said. All of that sentence.
He's basically saying that people like evil people can win because people, if you're number two, then it's like you still get to enjoy the perks of the evil, but you're not like the main figurehead.
Yeah. You kind of compromise your principles because it suits you or your personal political or financial ends.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Dane, so then with all this stuff, with all this knowledge, with all this kind of inquisitive mind, and you know, how did you then go from... into comedy? Why don't you go into something that you know, I suppose, I mean, actually comedy, you get to speak about whatever you want at any time. And so that's why you
exactly
really, so when was the first time you decided to go into comedy? Because that's always the biggest moment.
I think the seed was sown when I was in primary school, and we would, and like, so you have assembly with kids and stuff, and everyone does like a little skit and stuff, and I remember doing a skit, and like all the kids was like laughing their heads off, and just the feeling is like, so when I have this forum, I can do whatever I want, and entertain, and it's fun, and you know, and it validates your thoughts, and no one can tell me what to do. So that just kind of stayed with me, where it's like, I, rather than having to be like a class clown and have to compete with a teacher for authority or for attention, if I just perform, then I can, everyone's kind of listening anyway, and you can say what you want, and then you're not inhibited by like someone being like, oh, be quiet, or let's just do our time's tables. So I think that was when the seed was sown.
You're an impressionist as well.
I mean, that's Mrs. Robbins. That's, yeah. That's a bad impression. She was actually, and she was an okay teacher. But yeah, I just think, yeah, it was just very, anytime, like I said, it was to challenge authority.
What do you think was your best playground joke? What brings back the laughs when you think about your jokes at school?
I think when I was in primary school, it was a lot of slapstick. So there's a lot more physical comedy. So I probably have been trying a lot more to like emulate somebody like a Jim Carrey, as opposed to more social commentary, which I would do now.
But I didn't even know about comedy. Like, I knew about like theatre and things like that, right? I knew that there was drama and I could go and act and I could read a play and go and do it. But I didn't actually know about if I had a forum or a place that I could say whatever I wanted to. Mm-hmm. Because I was so worried, I suppose, when I was so young.
About the curriculum.
I was so worried. Just about being cool. I was so worried that I...
Which is really uncool, actually, to worry.
Yeah, do you know what? I was. I was constantly worried about being cool. Which probably made me uncool. It's the kids who are just cool, which are the ones. But I was a cool kid. But I didn't realize
that's not cool to say that.
but we already know that I'm cool, so it's fine. But I didn't realize that that I could have a forum where I could go and speak or do anything, because I didn't just cross my mind.
Yeah, no one's going to tell you either. By the way, if you don't like conforming, there is a way of expressing yourself where you can kind of defy authority. Like, no one's going to give you that information anyway. So. Even if you had showed some potential for it, people would just be like, nope. So for me, it was very similar. I didn't know. So I've only been doing comedy like 9 years, but it's something I wanted to do.
Only 9 years.
Yeah, yeah. But considering I wanted to do it when I was 15.
Yeah.
So.
No, this is, same with me. I've been writing jokes since I was 15, 16, but I've never actually like had the guts to go and do it until last year.
Yeah, and also you wouldn't know, and then you start applying all this like societal pressure on you, and people, because that's always the question when you do comedy, people go, what if people don't laugh? I would die. I would die.
Yeah, exactly. You think, I remember thinking like, well, what, you know, can I really do that? What are people going to judge me? You know, for even trying to do it or whatever. It's so many things like convince you not to do it.
Yeah, definitely.
But then, Dane, what was for you? So you wanted to do it as primary school, but then you go. Where was that moment? You're like, oh fuck, I'm just going to go and do it. When did that happen?
I think I was working in Wimbledon for Auto Trader, And I think it's, I think the, I
that
began
sounds baller.
It was not at all. So it couldn't be less baller. Like,
I actually, when I walked in the room, I went, he worked for Auto Trader. I can sense it.
I do give off that aura, but yeah, I can assure you that my
Aura Trader
every day, yeah, Aura Trader. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
An Aura Trader, like if you, that would be a good seminar or something. You could make money from that.
Yeah.
Jamie, you could definitely do an Aura Trader course.
You could rope in a load of suckers.
You could so easily. Aura Trader.
We're going to trade auras. You come and bring your bad aura. We'll give you a new aura.
But you be careful. That's the problem. Within Aura Trading, sometimes you can have Aura suckers.
Yeah.
And you must be careful of them. They're forms of energy vampires.
Mm.
More of that is available with my book. It's $19.99, available on Amazon now. Yeah. And it's Aura Trader, an introspective by Dane Baptiste. It's available now.
Also, because your name is Dane Baptiste, I would believe it straight away. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. It has to be.
Quasi-religious, and I will anoint you with the skills required in order for you to exchange energies with people you care about. Aura Trader is available now on eBay for,
at every good book
for $21.99.
I had that. I'm a bit of a sucker for these kind of things. When I was in New York...
Literally and figuratively.
Which is entirely your choice, Jamie.
Yeah, dude, I know, right? I was in New York and I just got what you you said. Hey, that was a hey, you're quick, Francis.
Oh, you know.
You are quick. Still get me 2.5 years
still
later
got
on
it.
The podcast.
Still got it.
I was in New York and I went past a psychic place, right? And I was like, hey, I'm gonna go get my psychic red. So I went in there and...
You're going to get your psychic red? You brought along your psychic and it had a writing all over it. It had writing all over him. It was going to take you to be read by this psychic reader.
Oh, yeah. You started the story way too early. If you can't read your own psychic, you got two problems now.
Just want to test out my psychic. Are you good enough? I'm going to get you read.
Can you read this written on him? He's a psychic, by the way.
My psychic is very good, but his literary skills mean that I don't know what the fuck he's talking about. So,
so I went into the psychic place to get my tarot cards read. You know when they put the cards out?
Uh-huh.
And so I sat there and you sat in front of her and honestly it's like firstly all her kids were crying in the back of the room and she was going in there going shut up and I was like this is a bit weird and then she started having a cigarette.
Those weren't her kids, those were her past clients.
too good a psychic.
Yeah. And she pulled out all these cards in front of me and I was like oh yeah this is kind of weird and she was doing stuff and she was saying things that were like true, and I was like, "What? How do you know?" She was like, "You're from England."
You googled me.
You're from England.
And I was like, "What? Get out of town! How do you know that?"
Do you watch E4?
Get out.
Oh, top of the morning.
Yeah. I can't believe it. Drop me chimney sweeping stick. Do you know anything else about me?
And she was like, "You're all these things." And then she said, "She was like saying all this stuff," and I was like, "Oh my god! Like this is I'm not." I am not easy to read. I am a really closed book. And she was saying all these things. I was like, this is insane. She said, look, you got all these like things going on, these demons, all this kind of stuff.
All these demons?
She said
that. Wait, why did you skip over the demons?
Oh, no, she just
said... Why don't you cover the demons?
Okay, well, she said... I know, she said things about demons. She said, oh, you can't commit to a relationship. And I went, oh, yeah, that's
true. She has watched
E4. Yeah. I was like... God, you're wise. Yes, I can. And all these different things. She said, look, I can help you with your demons. I can help you. All you got to do is give me half an hour. No, actually, this is the first thing. She went, all you got to do is give me a couple hours. It's going to cost you $500 more. But
hey, it's not cheap to get rid of your demons.
Yeah, that's what she said. It's going to cost you $500 more, but just give me a couple hours and give me your date of birth and your address and all these things. And I'll figure out. And I went, oh, and I went.
Name.
And I went to her and I was catching a flight that evening and I went, oh, God, I really want to do this. $500 is a hell of a lot of money, but you're going to get rid of my demons. I said, look, I don't have 2 hours. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to do another time. She went, okay, give me an hour. Give me an hour. And I went, I don't have an hour. She went, give me 15 minutes. And I went, sold. Okay. So from 2 hours, went down to 15 minutes.
Did you pay her $500?
No, obviously I didn't. I said, okay, I'll go and get the money now. And then never came back. Is that bad?
What, so you stole from her?
I didn't steal from her, no. I just didn't go back and...
But you got the 15 minutes, Stephen, demon...
No, she didn't do it in the end. So she told me to go away for 15 minutes.
Well, I could have guessed that. You've still got your demons.
What do you think about psychics? Do you think... As in just the ones, the real ones.
I've never been to see a psychic, but I think there are techniques that either psychics or even people that work in psychiatry can use to like cold read people.
Yeah, well, even hot read if you know something about them.
Yeah,
you like say for example,
what do you mean
if they
hot read and cold read? What are we talking?
Okay,
about?
So cold reading is guess. I do it a lot with people. You basically just guess things about them based on.
Okay, do about Dane now. So guess something. Go.
I think you are from Southeast London.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Go. Do another one.
So that. I guess your accent sounds like it's from Southeast London.
Just take my money. Money. I'm sold.
Hey Dane, listen. If you want to give us £500 and go away for 10 minutes, you can come back and we can clear you of all of your demons that we know you have.
Yeah, that's fine. If that's my tab, just add it to the tab. Yeah, it's fine.
And then hot reading is when you actually know something about them. So that was the illusion of cold reading, but actually it was hot reading because I read your Wikipedia page.
Exactly.
So there you got an example of both in one go.
But you can tell stuff about people. Just it could even be. For example,
I can do one for you.
Yeah.
You were in 2014 nominated for Best Newcomer.
It's like, are you both walking around in my head?
Yeah, in Edinburgh. Yeah.
I will give you $1,000. You both deserve £500.
And also, you were the first Black Briton to be nominated.
Yeah. Is this a psychic podcast?
Well, it should be.
It should be. Really should be.
But do you think you're a good reader of people? Because that's because you're in comedy, right? You have to kind of sense the room and you have to read the room in that kind of way. Does that make you understand people more, do you think?
I think it does, yeah. So even going back, like I said, to knowledge and stuff, is that because I think when I had finally given my ghost to trying to pursue comedy, it was like I kind of worked out, like, you know, observational comedy involves you being... knowing who people are and looking at society and stuff. So I tried to do as much study into like psychology as possible. Not loads, but like, and also I studied business at university, and a big part of business is we did a module on occupational psychology because companies will invest in
working on the human mind
because you're trying to get people to buy stuff. So looking at human behavior. So reading into that kind of piqued my interest. And I think it's, the ability to read people is more of a function of how well you are at your own self-awareness.
Completely, and self-awareness is power. Without a doubt believe that. And I say to everyone, go, if you have an opportunity to, or you think that you want to go and do therapy, go and do therapy, because that self-awareness is one of the greatest tools that you can have in life.
And that's how you read. And I think that's the best, and it's the best tool to be able to read people because, you know, we're a social species. And most of the time when you have exchanges with people, whether they are benevolent or even malicious, most of the time it's all projection. So, for example, like, you'd have to know ugly for you to call somebody else ugly, for
Completely.
Example. It's all a function of projection, which is why, you know, people say either, you know, most people that are bullies have been bullied themselves or like hurt people. So, I feel like you can kind of read people but it's more about knowing stuff about yourself. And so I find with audiences and stuff, you can kind of pick up where people stem from, and I think if you give people enough breath, they will reveal themselves anyway.
I'm totally with you. I find it so interesting about that self-awareness thing because there's two sides to it, right? Because this is me getting... this is all my intellect coming out at once. It's the only thing I ever learned, but it sounds super clever. So Blake did a poem about innocence and experience and the fact that experience ruins innocence. And the problem with becoming self-aware, right, is that you understand anxiety, depression, ugliness, happiness, all these different styles, right? But with that knowledge, that means that you're always analysing yourself and other people, and perhaps that's not a good thing. Perhaps being the naive... unexperienced person is actually the best way to live, and that's why Peter Pan wanted to always stay a child, because he always stayed unexperienced.
Do you know, I'm going to be honest with you, like, that is absolutely the nail on the head. I think Yeah, so you are actually exactly you are a smart person as you said, because it, and that's exactly it, and that has been a big part of my complex where like I enjoy what I do and stuff like that, but you do that causes difficulty in relationships and
completely.
Stuff
because
we'll edit that bit out
it means that you know I can read people on more than one level, and unfortunately even though I might have the self awareness and I do enough of the self reflection, not everybody does that, not because they're bad or they don't want to, but very few people have practiced doing that. And it means that when I've had exchanges or discourse with like girlfriends and stuff like that, is that for me, it's like I can ask people questions and be like, this is the answer that I want. But you have to understand that people create like walls and they can be very guarded. And especially like sometimes if someone wants to concede that you're incorrect, like it can appear that they're leaving themselves open to like be ridiculed and insulted. And especially if you're having a discussion with a comedian where it's like, you know, I'm ridiculed is almost the line of work I'm in. So if I say to somebody, you're wrong, it's like very hard for someone to be concede that because they know what they think is going to follow is me being like a barrage of insults and ridicule, which is not always necessarily the case. But yeah, sometimes, if I'm honest, it's like some of the stuff I know, I wish I didn't know.
Oh, dude, I'm exactly the same. I'm almost too self-aware, so I will read situations too much where I know understand that person, what they're thinking, and I can almost understand it like
you're psychic.
Yeah, I know. But, dude, I swear...
You're trying to say you're psychic?
Mate, it's like my superpower.
You can read minds.
Yeah, I swear to God, it's like my superpower.
Hey, I'm going
to
stop you there.
Why?
Because I have the question of the week.
Oh, I was so into that. Okay, fine. We'll pick this up. What is the question of the week?
And the question of the week is quite topical.
Oh. Okay, great.
Because it is involves questions.
Oh. Okay, sweet.
The average 4-year-old.
Okay.
Asks how many questions a day?
Ah. Well, it's a 4-year-old is at that age where they just question. That's probably why
can they repeat the question?
You are psychic.
Yeah. Is it like, do they repeat the question? So I'd say like the average 4-year-old probably can ask maybe 1,000 questions a day, but sometimes that could be the same question. Like, what's that?
Okay, so if we're, so is that your answer or?
1,000 questions a day is like how many minutes?
Or does it count if you ask the same question? Is that one question?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I'm going to work out the maths.
So I would say if they ask the same question repetitively, I might give a conservative estimate and say the average 4-year-old probably asks. I'll stick with 1,000. Whatever.
You're gonna give 1,000. I'm gonna work this out. So 60 minutes in an hour, they're probably up for 10 hours a day. Let's say that's 600. Should be easy maths, wasn't it?
That's good. Yes. Maths.
Wow, that was simple.
hey, look, yeah. When in doubt, okay.
60 times 10, 600. Yeah, that was right. Okay, fine. Cool. I reckon they ask 600 questions a day.
600. Well, we shall find out in part 2.
Hey, do you know what? I'm going to save my diary for part 2 because we've actually run over a little bit on this side. So, Dan, hey, by the way, you've got to stick around for part 2. Hey, if you want another acai smoothie, if you want some more milk.
Acai.
If you want some more of the acai.
Acai is what you like.
Which is your choice, Jamie. I can't stress that enough.
Hey, listen. Don't we all like eating booty sometimes?
That's it. Yeah. Should we end? Some people. Yeah. Well, okay. No.
And that makes me cool, right?
It does make you cool. It actually does make you cool.
Cool because I eat booty.
Exactly. And we're not going to shame any anal linguists. it's an erogenous zone. If that's what you're into.
Someone said to me the other day, and I can't believe we're going to end on this. I'm about to say it. We can cut it out. Someone said this to me the other day. He said, "Oh, they." Eating booty is hard, but you have to get past the bum vinegar first.
The bum vinegar. That's the smartest thing I've heard.
Isn't that
all
such
day.
A good description?
Bum vinegar is
bum
amazing.
Vinegar. Right, everyone, see you in part 2. Bye bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.